Again, I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And for those who will get this CD, I greet you in that same spirit of love and fellowship as we start this day, this Sabbath day, a day that we've never seen before and never will see again. We'll start with prayer. Deaconess Freeman.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day to serve you. This morning, Father, we ask that you let your peace surround us and let the hurries and the worries of this world fall away. With your help, Lord Jesus, we can bear difficulties, pain, disappointment, and sorrow, knowing that in your perfect working, you can use bitter experience that we have had to shape our characters and make us more like you.
Amen.
Father, please continue to direct our comings and our goings. Let us always remember that even when life goes wrong, we think it goes wrong, you are the good shepherd who cares for us. You are a faithful friend who stays with us. You are an adoring father who watches over us. You are a strong rock to help us stand firm, and a protective shield that guards us from danger, and an adored counselor who guides us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your faithfulness to us. Bless our families this morning with your love, Father, and protect them from all the dangers and harm that may come their way. And, Father, let no weapon form against them and prosper. In Jesus' holy name. Father, we pray for those who live in a world of confusion and chaos and ask that you help them find peace and contentment. Pray that you open their hearts with the knowledge of how wonderful their life will be when they walk with you.
Yeah.
We pray for your mercy, Father, and your grace over them until they find their way to the truth and to the light. Lord Jesus, we pray for Bishop Cuff this morning. We thank you for nurturing, developing, molding, and grooming him by the divine power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for his boldness to teach your flock the truth, and not merely, Father, to feed our itching ears. Bless Sister Cuff, Father, Lord Jesus, and continue to give her the hunger and the thirst for righteousness and for her being rooted and grounded in your love.
Yes.
We pray, Father, that you continually bless them and their family. Holy Father, we pray for the Word of God Church and the Julius C. Freeman Reach Outreach Ministries. We pray for the protection over the hearts and minds of each member, as well as the church leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we thank you for not allowing the enemy to roam uncontested in our homes, in our jobs, and in our church. Mm-hmm. And we know that nothing can excuse us, Father, for sinning in any way. Forgive the wrongs that we have done, Father, and the rights we have failed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Please, Lord, use the Holy Spirit to strengthen us whenever we are threatened by fear or temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Protect our soldiers, dear Lord. Bless and take care of them and be their constant companion and their strength as they go about their duties.
Mm.
Father, grant them strength and wisdom to help them through your power and with your abiding love. Father, we ask that you continue to be above us, to overshadow us, before us to guide us, behind us to protect us, and beneath us to carry us.
Yes.
Give you glory and honor as our Lord and Savior. We thank you for your joy and for your peace, which the world cannot give nor take away. Thank you, Father,
thank
for changing us, renewing us, and making us whole through your love and your grace. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
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 God bless you, Deaconess Freeman. As always, God allows you to provide a prayer that is meaningful and timely. Good morning. This morning, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the guidance that comes only from above, I want to talk to you about something that is a must for us to know. There's no way you cannot understand this concept about us being born again. Of course, it's the principle that we're, or the bedrock that we get into the kingdom on. We can't get into the kingdom no other way but by being born again.
Amen.
There's a misperception about that many churches wrongly profess that there is another way. I noticed somebody just muted the call. I assume that was my little junior minister, Joseph Jr. I want you to understand some things that I'm just speaking now by the power and by from my heart, that we cannot allow this kingdom or anyone in this kingdom to corrupt our knowledge of the truth. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
No one, do not allow anyone to cause you to fail to be in the number of the righteous, to be born again. So you must be a Berean. You must be a Berean, which is one who tests all spirits, who does not just take what is said by the prophet or the priest or the preacher today, but checks it for themselves so there'd be no doubt in their mind what the truth is. Amen?
Amen.
And as a prelude, as I get into this, I want to just give you a slight testimony of what I was told, what I understood most of my adult life about what it meant to be saved or born again. Because they're one and the same. You can't be born again and not be saved. They're in a lock. And what I was told all the way growing up, and I was in church, a Baptist church, all my life, born and raised in the church, went to Sunday school and went to church every Sunday. My understanding was Romans 10:9. You might want to jot that down so you can go back and study this. I'm going to read 10:9 through 21, which will give you a more clear point of view. But what I was taught, what I thought and understood was that all I had to do was confess Jesus as my Lord. I just believed it. I just said it, and I was saved. And I said, well, that's easy to do. That ain't hard to do. I believe in Jesus, and I can confess it. Listen to what the text says. Now, if you confess with your mouth, that's Romans 10 and verse 9, Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, see, that was easy. I understood that. But as I've told you, and I'll tell you again, that's not the end of the text. We can't take text out of context. We have to understand overall what's being said. And by the way, church, not only do we have to know that, and we need to have some understanding of the Hebrew and the Greek words. And not to get into that, but to give you an example, we'll read in text where it'll use the word that you will prosper. In the Old Testament, the word prosper simply meant that you had material blessings. In the New Testament, prosper simply means that things go well with you on your journey. Today, you'll find a lot of false prophets will throw the prosperity in front of you, which is out of the Old Testament. And so what happens is that people will say, and you hear a comedy, that, oh, the Lord blessed me, I got a new Cadillac. Oh, Lord, bless me. I just in the material blessings. You see, in the New Testament, it talks about that you don't store up treasures here on earth with thieves and robbers and moths can destroy, that you are to store things up in heaven. And so we need to make certain that we understand what is being said. In this case, I was under the assumption, based upon my own cardinal mind, my own earthly mind, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10 says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. You see, church, real quickly, you can't believe and you can't have a changed heart unless you are regenerated or born again. Verse 11, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly bless all who calls on him. And so the bottom line is that as you read through this text and you find out that it is not a matter of me just opening my mouth and confessing it. It's a matter of it being a matter of the heart. And the Bible said that man's heart is what? It's deceitful, it's cold, it's ungodly. So this matter of making Jesus your Lord is much more than a few words that are being taken out of context. Can I get a witness? Also, I wanted to let you know that in the book of Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn there, which makes reference to what I just read. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 and 14, it says the following. Now what I am commanding you to do today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend to heaven to get it and proclaim it to us who we may believe on it, nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart so you may obey it. And so, church, the bottom line is that we must have something to change our heart. You might want to write that down. This regeneration and this repentance comes when our heart is changed. And so as we get into this morning, I want you to have that thought in the back of your mind. How does one's heart get changed? Our text again this morning is from John chapter 3. Verse 3 through 5, which reads as follows. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. And so this morning, as we will proceed for the next several weeks, we have to deal with this question about this new birth. The new birth is something like and unto a butterfly. I've told you many times over many years. Unfortunately, the more I learn, the clearer things become to me. For example, we use the illustration of a caterpillar, which is before the birth, and a butterfly that comes about through metamorphosis into a butterfly. This morning, I want you to thoroughly understand that this is not a good example of the new birth. For it is nothing on earth that can parallel with this regeneration of the sinful man. We have no way, we have no human way to describe what you're going to learn. And so this caterpillar and the butterfly is a poor example of this transformation that takes place. Amen?
Amen.
There is so little understanding of this process of the new birth by Christians today. Let me give you an example. There are in this world, and I've told you this on several occasions, there's approximately 6 billion people. And you'd have to do some real serious thought to figure out 6 billion people. 1.3 billion or thereabouts are Chinese. 1.1 maybe are Indians. And we can stop right there. That's 2.3 to 4 billion people that we know aren't Christians. But the reality is that there's only 2 billion people out of that 6 who profess to be Christians. And then when you start breaking that down, you end up with some small number like approximately 300 million who would even state that they're born again. And then you start breaking that down like Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 talks about the few. And so it is my mission by the power of the Holy Spirit that you understand who are those few. Who are the born again? You have different denominations that like to tout or to say that they are those special ones. You and I will learn and know without a shadow of a doubt what is the requirement to be born again. Amen. You see, another enemy we have that I constantly remind you of is the secular press. You see, they have determined in their mind what a born-again person is. You'll hear them talking about the evangelicals. And the evangelicals, in my humble opinion, are way, way from being born again because they spend their time in secular things. They're worried about the fetus in the womb. And not worry about it when a child is born. And yet both of those are elementary to this process of being born again. And if you really start dealing with the negativity that comes out in our news and our media, and I'll give you an example. I listened to them, had a special the other night about those people in Texas who are following most, if not a large amount of the scriptures that teaches us that we are to come out from those who are not like-minded, that we are to separate ourselves from this profane and ungodly world. And by the way, that doesn't mean to go off into some area where you can't be around them, but you and I are cautioned that we cannot have any fellowship with the ungodly. Can I get a witness? And therefore, you have to understand who are godly and who are not. You see, most of us have drawn the conclusion based upon what we read and hear on the news. And so CNN set out to define this group of people who in a physical appearance look different than us. Their women wore their hair, and I don't know how they got it to go up in the hair like that, but they had different hairstyles, and they lived out. But what the press said that they were, it labeled all of them as being, polygamous. And I was saying to myself, see, that's interesting. Now, they don't know no more about them people than they know about whatever religion they profess. But now they're telling the whole world that they're polygamous. No mention about the fact that they're following the scriptures. And that they do this and they do that. The press keyed in on what was negative that they could say. And so did the state of Texas. And took those young people, those children from their parents, well over 400 of them. And then the state Supreme Court told them to give them back. And our Bible teaches us that we are sheep for the slaughter. That this kingdom will not accept born again people. Give me an amen. See, you can tell the start of your rebirth by the friends you lose once they see the light of the new birth in you. Y'all might say amen. Bible gives us clues to this. It tells us that we will be hated because we stand for Jesus. We're no better than our master. He was spat upon, and he was ridiculed, and he was beaten, and finally he was crucified. And I, for one, find it almost astounding that very little, if any of us, meet that criteria. We blend in so nice and equal with this world that no one can distinguish us. The Bible says we're supposed to be the light of the world, and we're not supposed to be on a hill hidden under a basket. And yet you can walk down street by street, go to job by job, go to school by school, and very seldom can discern a born-again believer. Can I get a witness? Some people say they can because of the way they dress. That women that you see with long dresses on and with loose-fitting clothes that don't show any of their physique might be them. I've always admired the true Muslims, which means that there are various degrees like it is in Christianity, but the Orthodox, the fundamentalist Muslim women, they always are head covered. And they follow the teachings of the Quran that they never look a man directly into his eyes. And I have witnessed that. You see, we in Christendom, we look in the eyes because that's our first sign of being lovers. Come on, y'all. You know, you can look in someone's eyes and they can transmit what they're thinking to you. Give me an amen. You see, we are taught by our master the same principle, and that is that our women are to have shamefacedness about them. They should have a humble humility. They should look to honor God in their appearance and have their husband as the head over them. Can I get a witness? And husbands are to love their wives as they love themselves, as Christ loved the church. In other words, church, a husband should give up his life for his wife. He should put his wife in front of him at all times.
Amen.
And the sad thing to say is that that's not happening, because we have, in particular in the Afro-American experience, 76% of our homes have no fathers in them. You might say, well, that's because of our women. I beg to differ with you. The Bible says that if you're a holy man, you are the head of your household. You honor God by honoring your family. He gave us a family as one of his institutions. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And all we have to do is do our job, and I assure you in the name of Jesus that men, women will follow men, because God ordained it that way when the fall came. He made it so that Eve would not be deceived, and we likewise. And what do? We do contrary to that, and yet we say we're Christians. So what then does it mean to be born again? Church, we must take good notes and study this. And I recommend that everyone get this CD when it comes out, which will be out this week on this first one, so that no one has any doubt that you'll be able to study and meditate on this. Amen? Now, I will lay out for you the true meaning of being born again. This is one of the most important things you must know, or I say it again, you must know this. You must know this because your eternal life depends on it. So let's get busy. Now, the origins of the new birth. Church, it originates with the authority that is beyond any human endeavor, desire, or knowledge. Regeneration, or which is another word for rebirth, is entirely and exclusively the act of God. You need to make a note of that. It is not a human thing. It is the act of God. Man has no capability within him or her to regenerate themselves. We have no way to get sin out of our natural bodies, out of our minds, and out of our souls. That is an act of God. Man cannot do it. And yet preachers stand in pulpits and say every Sunday morning, Come on down. Come on down and join our church and be part of the kingdom. Listen at me. That is called decisional regeneration, and you need to make your note to study that. That is saying that man makes the decision to come to God. And I stop by to tell you that's a lie straight from hell. No man can make a decision, for he has not the power to be regenerated. Our mortal bodies are full of sin, and no sinful man will enter the kingdom of heaven. Y'all might as well say amen. That is one of the principles that has been perpetrated against us in this culture and in other cultures that are sending people straight to hell. God is the originator and the authority of the rebirth. And sometimes the act is described as God of the Father. Listen at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And as you know, I will give you ample scriptures to back up this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And you don't have to turn to these if you don't want to. In other words, what we're being told here is praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his great mercy. Whose great mercy? God's great mercy. He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Jesus died and was raised on the third day to give us the opportunity to be reborn again. If he hadn't have come up, none of us could be reborn. Because rebirth is not something you and I make a decision on. That's where we fall short. We go join a church and get baptized, and then we come out of the water and think that we are now a new creature. Listen at me. The only way you or I will ever be a new creature is in Christ. Amen. Not anything that we can do to deserve it or work for it. Y'all come on with me now. Sometimes the Son, Jesus Christ, is the other area. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Listen at that. We who are righteous, and righteous is a part of this process. You might want to take a note down about righteous so that you can find out what righteous means, what justification means, and I'll cover most of these throughout this series. But again, we're clearly told that it is this rebirth is not our doing. We have nothing to do with it. You can march down every church aisle in this country, and you will not be born again, because it is not a man process. It's a God process. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
But commonly, it is associated with God the Holy Spirit, as in John 3 and 6. Listen, flesh gives birth to flesh. John chapter 3, verse 6. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Did you get that? But the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Flesh cannot be spirit. So this process that we're going to go through and are going through is a spiritual matter. It's not a man matter. It's not a decisional process. It's a spiritual process. And I know someone in the back of their mind might say, well, Bishop, hold on a minute. Well, how do we get there if we don't have some part of it? Remember my precious daughter-in-law, Bree, brought that question up when we were studying in the Book of John about this notion, this process of man's free will. You see, man does not have a free will to be righteous. He has a free will to be sinful because we are of the sinful nature. When we all came out of our mother's womb, we came out in sin. We were conceived in sin, we were born in sin, and we're still in sin. It is our nature to contradict God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that's one of the processes that we have to learn, how sorry and sad we are without being regenerated or reborn. I sometimes just marvel at how useless I am without God at the center of my life. Listen to me. As long as you think you're good, I stop by to tell you that you're a liar and the truth ain't in you. There's none good. He says not one of us are good until we're born again. And see, people don't want to accept that. That's insulting. How dare him say that? I'm a good person. You know, all my life I've met good people. And how I knew them because they tell me how bad I was. Oh, y'all get that? The Bible teaches us, don't worry about the speck of my eye. Look at the log in your eye. Why? Because none of us are worthy. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yet we have many, unfortunately, who go to church dressed up on Sunday, take their Bibles and use religiology terms. And, you know, I've been there. So I ain't talking about somebody. I'm talking about me. You know how it is. You shine your shoes up and put your clothes on. And my precious wife used to run through 3 or 4 pair of stockings on Sunday, put them on, poach a hole in it, take them off, put them on. Of another pair on, I said, I need some stock in them stocking company. I ain't never heard of such. And I always used to ask them, why can't we just put Vaseline on your legs and go about your business? Because religious people will look down and say, Sister Cuff has no stockings on. You see how it works? Man creates what he wants to be religion. You know, if that was the case, how do people in jail who are in a 6x8 or whatever it is get converted? They don't have no religiosity that guides them. It's by something out of their control. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And man does not control the Spirit. The Spirit is controlled by Almighty God. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
So this process of being born again is not a man-made thing, and man doesn't even understand how that is not the case until God enlightens his mind. Can I get a witness? The word of God that will enlighten us to see that the way we walk is not the way that God wants us to walk, and the flesh is flesh. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 says, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, did you get that? Nor of human decision or a husband will, but born of God. Now you might want to turn to that. See if the bishop read that right, or is he his blood pressure medicine kicking in? Listen again. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or husband will, but born of God. You got that? What we are basically taught in most of our churches, you make the decision. The doors of the church are open. Come on down. What was that show? Just come on, The Price is Right. Come on down. Are y'all getting this? You see, the only way any of us are regenerated is by the blood of the Lamb and by the new birth. It has nothing to do with our family members. You know, the back in the early church, you know, they were talking about that my father Abraham and none of that has anything to do with it. Listen to these words in John chapter 8, verse 42 through 45. John chapter 8, verse 42 through 45. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. This is my language not clear. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say." You might want to mark that. Verse 43. "Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say." Until we are born again, we have not the ability. You know when I read this and go over this, it sort of really, you know, the Bible will make you humble. You know, we have a tendency to think we more than what we ought to think we are, is what the scripture says. You see, all the studying that I do is naught unless the Spirit guides me. You see, I can't preach to you unless the Spirit leads me. It ain't about me. It's about the power of the Holy Ghost that resides in me by the grace of God, not anything that I've done. Those who know me, I fought the call. Didn't want to be a preacher. Had no use for preachers. Because like most men, I saw pimps leading women. Amen, lights.
Amen.
And I still see a lot of pimps in the pulpit. You know, wait a minute now, Bishop. Now, let me give you, make sure you understand. You see, if those who are not physically here seeing me, there's no way that I look like a pimp. I ain't dressed like one. I don't smell like one. I don't talk like one. But look around you. I went out to dinner with Kimberly and Melvin and Marvin and Nikki and, you know, the whole Edison clan, because it was Marvin's birthday and Robin was there. And while we were waiting, without a doubt, a preacher and maybe an assistant preacher came in, and they were sitting down waiting to go in to eat, and we're sitting down. And I was saying to myself, I said, thank you, Lord. I mean, they were dressed to the max. Now, I don't know where they got them funny country clothes from, but they were, you knew who they were. You can tell them by their fruits. Oh, y'all come on with me now. You see, Jesus taught us to be humble people. He taught us to be like he was. He was lowly, meek, and humble. And the word says that the meek shall do what? They will inherit the earth. And the proud man sets himself up for what? For a fall. And so none of us who are God's children can walk around in a proud state. Well, y'all come on with me. Can't walk around looking like a pimp. I look good. Look at me. Who did that? The Pharisees did. The Pharisaic clan did. They wanted to be seen of men. And the Father said, if that's your case, you've got your reward. And I don't want no man reward. Don't last long. You know, somebody steal it. You know, it ain't worth nothing. And now that I'm getting old, I'm starting to see that, if this is all of life, I want that kingdom. I want that eternal life. I've lived long enough to see that this is a chump change experience down here.
Amen.
You see, 1 minute I'm young and I remember when I first laid eyes on my wife and I parted my hair and I got ready. Like I said, back in the day, you had to cut everybody loose. And I cut about 5 or 6 of them loose for Connie. Did y'all get that? Might have been 4.
Or it might have been 3.
But I can tell you one thing. You couldn't get away with being a pimp back in my day. Y'all, come on, some of y'all old people. You couldn't run around with 3, 4, 5 girlfriends. It didn't work. And I submit to you that it does not work in the kingdom. Verse 44 says, you belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him.
Amen.
Listen at me. We are all members of that clan until God lifts us up out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
Until he converts us, we are all a part of our father, the devil. Then he lies. He speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. And every time we lie, we give homage to him. And who among us who are not born does not lie? Robin, if I start spitting over there, just I will wet you up. Normie, trustee Mimi sits there, but it's your day. You better be glad I ain't take my vitamins yet, because you'll start getting breezes over there. Verse 45. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe. And church, if you don't get all these scriptures, make sure you get the CD. Now, many, many centuries ago, the problems that I'm starting to describe you were the same thing. You see, this regeneration is not the will of the flesh. The will of the flesh is to be contrary to the will of the Spirit. Good morning. You see, we don't want to follow the Spirit. We want to follow the flesh. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
We want to do it our way. We want to see it our way. It's only one way. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And it is not the natural way. It is not the emotional impulse of man. Man and women, boy and girl, must be regenerated. We must, church, be born again. And it's not of the flesh, it's of the Spirit. Can I get a witness? Now, most people have this subjective understanding of regeneration, makes man the author of his own rebirth, and produces only disillusionment and a terrible spiritual disaster. If you don't get nothing out of this first part, you must understand that none of us can be reborn ourselves. We can join churches all day long and get baptized 4 or 5 times. You know, I'm going to tell you about that. You know, I remember I was baptized. I know I was baptized. I remember, I think, getting baptized. I know I had a baptismal certificate because I used it for my birth certificate in the Army. But that's the extent of it. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. I'm still the same devil. Oh, y'all not hearing me. You see, when I came out of the water, what was that all about? What did it do? Did it change? When I came up, was I changed? I submit to you that only the Spirit of God can change the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls through the new birth or rebirth. So we find ourselves stuck in the pretext of man's will. Man's will is nothing without the conversion. Man has no will in relationship to being born again. Can I get a witness? You've got to understand that regeneration has nothing to do with human elements, human principles. It's a spiritual matter. All of these illustrations, the interchange between Christ and Jews in our text today, you know, Nicodemus was a religious leader. Christ declared to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Born from above is the Greek word. If you want to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus falsely understood what he perceived it was to be. That's because he was following the mandate of the Jewish religion. And the Jews did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Can I get a witness? And so they couldn't know about rebirth without Christ at the center of it. John chapter 3, verse 4 through 8. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Church, listen, you and I don't know when it takes place. And so you can't sit up and say, well, I remember my precious wife was trying to stop me from joining the church. I've sat there and got all emotional. I had my little suit on and stuff, and I'm just ready to go. And I remember I grabbed Connie by the hand, and there was Kim and Jerry and Dwayne. And I just dragged my whole family up there. And, you know, I look back over that now, and that was one of the biggest stupid decisions I made. I wasn't coming to Christ. I was coming to a church. I was coming to religion. I was coming to what I thought were middle-class, bourgeois, colored people. Oh, y'all come on with me now.
Amen. Amen.
You see, I should have been born again, and I didn't have to walk an aisle. I would have to look to heaven, which cometh my health and my strength, and my future depends on the kingdom of heaven, not on a church.
Amen.
Amen.
Depends on the master. Yeah. Listen to this passage in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. On the last and great day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.
Yes.
Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within. That gives me chill bumps. That means simply that that spirit that he plants in you, it will flow like waters running down a stream. They will know no other direction but to keep going straight ahead. You ever see water back up? Don't back up stream. It just keeps going. And that's what happens when the Spirit of God gets on us. Verse 39. By this he meant the Spirit who these who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So you get the point about the Jews? Until Jesus was glorified, no one had the rebirth. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the Spirit. I mean, through the Word. Again, the water represents the Spirit. James chapter 1, verse 18. He chose to give us birth through the Word of truth. Did you get that? He chose to give us the birth through the Word of the truth, that we might be the kind of first fruit of all creation. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and the enduring Word of God. Are y'all getting this? You see how it works? When he borns us again, it is a permanent, eternal, everlasting process that we go through. Ain't that good news? You see, Jesus challenged Nicodemus. He says, you must be born again. And you and I must be born again. Now, what is involved in this act of regeneration? We get some sense of what a dramatic and deep-seated operation it is. When we remember that being above and being reborn, you become a new, entirely new creation. Which tells you right there, it's beyond our ability to have anything to do with it. We have to be totally be created all over again. And we can't create anything. We can't create birth in a child that comes out of our womb. Oh, y'all, come on with me now. The only one that gives a child life is the one who takes it. Y'all get that?
Amen.
You see, that's why it's clear that man can't have anything to do with this process. It is a radical and permanent change that affects the entire mortal nature of the individual concerned. Sinners' minds is enlightened, and its sinful state and mind no longer walks in darkness but the newness. This ignorance of darkness leaves us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. So church, like it or not, we all got hard hearts. We got hearts that are made of stone. Can I get a witness? And until God, in his infinite power and wisdom, converts us, we are hardened, cold criminals. Y'all might as well say amen. Let me just put it back down to the nitty-gritty. We all stink.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, we don't want to hear that. I took my shower. I got on cologne, perfume, whatever. You stink. In the eyes of the Father. And what other eyes are you looking at? Listen to me. We should always be concerned how we appear before the Father, not before this kingdom.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We should not be waking up every morning, going to work and to school or wherever we go, and have no sight that God is watching every word, every thought, every deed that we do. And then when we get caught up with somebody that we, you know, every once in a while you see them, oh, man, that's Bucky there. He killed how many people? Not Bucky. Yeah, Bucky. The Bible says what you see your brother do, you will what? You will do also. You will do like-minded unless you've been born again. I remember the church that I was licensed through. Every time I turned around, there was somebody in the church going to jail. You remember that? I ain't talking about, you know, I'm talking about old folk. And one brother was working for the government, and he had had him a little network of people that he's supposed to be setting up, the ones who needed to be on unemployment or Social Security or state SSI or whatever it was. So he done got a whole group of buddies, and he done signed them all up, and they all getting checks. Lived in our neighborhood, always suit and tie on, Mr. Businessman. And he's sitting down now in the state penitentiary or the federal pen. Let me just show you how clear God gave this to me. When I went into prison ministry, the first thing I had to learn was that God was with me. Because those who know me well know that I don't like being closed in. And I didn't know why God was sending me into that jail. I told him I'd do anything. I don't want to go in that jail. But that's how I ain't got no doubt in my mind God called me. Because my Bible said not only does he call you, he equips you. Let me just hit this for a minute. God does not send us out unequipped.
Amen.
He sends us as sheep for the slaughter, but he says, I'm always with you. When I first got in prison ministry, I didn't know what I was doing. The Spirit was leading me all the way through it. Until the first night I had to go in there with the chaplain who was teaching me the ways that they worked. And the first time after, he said, well, you got it. You're in charge of the men's Bible study. And I go in there, and now I'm walking down these hallways by myself, not knowing which way I'm going. All I'm hearing is doors clanging. Don't go to jail. Them doors will blow your mind. They clang. When they hit shut, it sounds like two hurricanes coming together. And then I'm walking and seeing brothers inside the cells with a little small slit of glass, and they want me to stop and pray with them and put my hand up on the window when I'm sitting up there shaking, needing prayer myself. Yeah, I was scared. But I knew I was being sent, and so I kept on walking, went up flights, and they were opening the door. They got cameras, and now I get to Bible study and hear these guys coming in, great, big, muscle-bound. Oh, yeah, they ain't got nothing to do but lift weights all day long. Hands in their pockets like our young people do now. You know, we pick up some of this foolishness, don't even know it come out of jail. Walk around with our pants hanging. That's how they walk around. That's where it comes from. You don't have no belts in jail, so your pants always hang below your drawers. I saw a boy this morning at the grocery store. He working for Kroger's, and he's sitting out there trying to pull his pants down where his pants was under his butt, and then he tightened the belt. I said to myself, I bring you a little skinny behind in that jail. You'll know why they dress like that. And the bottom line, church, is that all the way through my experience in that jail, I knew that God was with me. He sent me, he equipped me, and I was able to sustain myself. Because I was scared of being closed in, and I was tested more than once. Oh, somebody can say amen.
Amen.
The goodness of the Lord is powerful, I tell you. It's better than any two-edged sword. When you allow God to control your life after he's given you the privilege of coming to him, you're blessed, I tell you. You're blessed. Let me just hit on this, and as I bring this to a close. I have 7 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren and 3 children. I don't worry, and that includes my son-in-law, Deacon Edison, and my daughter-in-law, Bree, and my daughter-in-law, Tanya. Which, as far as I'm concerned, all 3 of them family. Ain't no in-law. They my family. Listen at me. I go to sleep at night. I don't worry about where any of them are. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Y'all might as well say amen.
Amen.
You see, when he calls you, he converts you. and you no longer live for yourself, you don't trust yourself. You put all your trust in him.
Amen.
So when Robin and Marvin, y'all out, I put you under the blood of Jesus. And you, I go to sleep with you under the blood. And when I wake up in the night, you're under the blood. And I have perfect peace. Oh, can anybody understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
God will give you peace that passes all understanding. Man cannot comprehend what we know in the spirit. So as I bring this to a close this morning, I'm just prayerful that God has allowed you to hear the truth about how this rebirth starts, how it operates. It's not of man, it's of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Did you get that? It is nothing to do with this world. It is the spirit of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, and you don't have to turn to these unless you want to. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Did you get that? He's called us. We didn't call him.
Amen.
The riches of his glory inheritance in the saints. You see, regeneration, man's heart is sanctified. In other words, his heart is set aside for God's purposes. While in sin, the heart is a stone. You need to take that down. Our hearts and converted is a heart of stones. I got an email the other day that a person accused me, bless you, of being cold-hearted. You see, you can't let the world define who you are.
Amen.
You see, sometimes you can be telling the truth, but it don't fit with the person that hears it. Our hearts are stone, but able to receive God in his goodness and his loveliness by regeneration. The heart of stone can be replaced with the heart of flesh. Ain't that good news? Just because we have hearts of stone, they can be converted.
Amen.
Thus, the effects are sanctification, made holy, drawn to God, Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27. Listen closely. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That's how it works. He does it all. And once he does it, we become new creatures. So church regeneration, man's will is renewed. The will or the inclination of the natural man is utterly against all that God is and all that is good. We have no natural disposition towards God. Did y'all get that? We do not. We might fake and talk a good game, but go in the recesses of your own mind. You don't have to, this ain't something you can do in front of people. You can go in your own mind, and if you have the ability to reason with your own mind, you can see who you are. Help me, lights. And if you can't see who you are, you're being deceived. And your pride is blocking you from the truth. What an elementary state to think that you're good when the Bible said none of us are good. That's where our self-righteousness comes from. We don't care what God said. I know I'm a good person. And you are a liar and the truth's not in you. You see, resurrection is the end of God's work in an individual. God does the work. Man has nothing to do with it. That's why we must always be thankful and be gracious and be humble, because all that we are, all that we ever will be, it's been by the grace of God.
Amen.
One of the blessings I had when I was in prison ministry was that I knew it was by the grace of God that I wasn't in that jail. And if you tell the truth and know the truth, it will set you free. I look over my life and I know God that was looking after me. Foster child. His mother gave him up shortly after he was born. Had one set of foster parents when most foster children have 6-7 houses they drag from house to house. I had one set of parents, foster parents, and not everything was perfect in there, but I was blessed. And one day in the library, God blessed my heart when I laid eyes on what he would, not knowing to me, would be my wife. Don't fool yourself. Those who are righteous are blessed. He said he'll bless your seed. He'll bless you down 7 generations. You can have no better blessing on your life and on your marriage and on your relationship than to have God at the helm.
Amen.
Amen.
Trying to do everything in my power not to shed any tears in front of Robin, but you might just get a good laugh here. I don't know about y'all, but I know I'm blessed. I know that God has shown favor on me. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Sorry as I am to be able to open my eyes and see. You know, people wake up in the morning and some are blind. And some think they can see, but they're just as blind as the blind.
Amen.
And I can look around and see my offspring's offsprings. You know I love you, and you know I love you, and you know I love you. I'm blessed when I can see my grandchildren when they're little and now they're grown. That's a blessing, I tell you. To bring this to a close, I want to make sure that we have no doubt in our mind that it's not our will, it's his will. It's his mercy, his grace. John 1:12-13. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name,
yes,
he gives the right to become children of God.
Yes.
Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. So, church, we learn that the human acts, which are the mark of truly converted souls, receive Christ and believe in him. That's what 12 tells us. And this regeneration is born from God. And regeneration leads to the inevitable conversion. There are 10 steps that we'll get through over these next couple of weeks. But until you're regenerated, you can't be converted. Which is turning the soul to God. That's one of our missions, church, is to turn from darkness into a marvelous light. To turn from this world to his world. To turn from this world's ways to his ways. But conversion is impossible without the proper regeneration act of God's part of imparting new life into our souls. So as we come to the end of this journey today, I want you to make sure that your takeaways are clear. There's not a thing we can do to be born again without the presence and the power of the Most High God. And next week, we'll pick up with the subject of the doctrine of conversion. So now we know that regeneration is not a thing that man does. Man has no control in it. Man has no part in it. It's by the mercies and grace of Almighty God. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And next week, we'll understand how we are converted. Deacon Edison.
Amen. Prior to some of you coming online and here and present with us, just say how physically God and His Spirit works. Sister Cuff, mother-in-law, was speaking on the lines of vision. Vision, how sometimes our vision becomes blurred if you wear glasses and you go into a condition whereas there's steam and your vision becomes blurred once you got the glasses on.
Mm-hmm.
I bring that to say this.
Mm-hmm.
Once the glasses were taken off, God's ability still gave us
yes.
that likeness to see.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to see by taking off those blinders.
Well.
And the Spirit led me to the book of John,
mm-hmm.
beginning with verse 1.
Hmm. What chapter, son?
John, chapter 9, verse 1, beginning. We must always, at all times, keep His Spirit at present.
Mm-hmm.
Never can tell when He's knocking.
That's right.
Are we listening? As it reads, as He was walking along, and I'm reading from the Living Bible.
Okay.
He saw a man blind from birth.
Mm.
Master, His disciples asked Him, why was this man born blind? Was it a result of his own sins or those of his parents? Neither, Jesus answered, but to demonstrate the power of God,
mm-hmm.
all of us must quickly carry out the task assigned as by the one who sent it, who sent me. For there is a little time left before nightfall,
well,
and all work comes to an end.
Mm-hmm.
But while I am still here in the world, I give you my light. Then he spat on the ground and made mud.
Mm-hmm.
From that spittle, a smoothing the mud over the blind man's eyes,
mm-hmm.
and told him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam.
Mm-hmm.
The word Siloam means sent. So the man went where he was sent.
Amen.
And washed and came back seeing.
Mm. Mm.
May God have a blessing to the reading of His word.
Yeah.
In the little things that we say,
mm-hmm.
or what others say, unless the Spirit is lit, we're able to take heed to the Spirit, we can miss the blessing.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we do thank You for what we've heard and what we've seen. We thank You for Your mercy and for Your grace. We thank You for the presence of Your Holy Spirit, and the presence of Your saints. We thank You that Robin has come with us this morning to fellowship. We ask You to continue to bless her and Marvin and all that they say and do. We ask now, Lord God, that You bless the bread and the wine as we prepare to commune together by the power of Your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Church, say amen.
Amen.
Prepare your hearts for communion. For those who were getting this CD, If you would like for us to send you some communion servings, we can, if you get in touch with us or get back with whoever gave you the CD. The Bible teaches as often as we do this in remembrance of Christ Jesus. It's not something that we're asked to do. It is something that we are commanded to do. Amen?
Amen.
And we're not asked to remember, but we're commanded to take time to meditate on Christ Jesus, God's Son that he sent to save our souls. And so as we prepare our hearts, I encourage you that you often go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and read over it so that you have some sense, and go to Luke and the other Gospels that describe Jesus' walk to the cross and what he had to go through on our behalf. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And so now, as we commune together on the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross for our sins and the sins of the world, let us commune together on his body. Father God, we ask that you be merciful unto us, that you let your light shine on us, and that you grant us your everlasting peace. I pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And after the supper, he took the cup which symbolizes the blood that Jesus shed for our sins and the sins of the world. Let us commune together on the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Father, we love you and we praise your holy and righteous name. We ask that you bless our hearts and change them to hearts of flesh suitable for your service. I pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace, for God walks with you. You are dismissed. We will not have an offertory report this week, but we'll have it next week. And God bless you all. I ask that you keep each other in prayer and that we always lift up the name of Jesus wherever we go. Amen.
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 All minds clear. Well, God bless you all, and we'll assemble ourselves on Wednesday for the study of Revelations as we march through the book of Revelations. God bless you, and we love you.
God bless you.
Bless you all.
Bye.
Have a beautiful weekend.
Hey, you too. God bless you all.